WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Alan Splett creates sounds. He always listens for the right sound. Splett is a sound designer for movies. He won an Academy Award for his work on Carol Ballard's film Black Stallion. He also worked with Ballard on Never Cry Wolf. In 1969, Splett met a young filmmaker named David Lynch, and his life changed. He's worked with Lynch on all his films, from early shorts to Hollywood features. Lynch's first film was Eraserhead, followed by The Elephant Man, Dune, and most recently, Blue Velvet. I asked Alan Splett how he and David Lynch first got together.
Well, I was working in Philadelphia. I was working at a industrial film house, which is no longer there now. And David had who lived nearby, and he had done a grant film for the American Film Institute, which was 35 minutes of 16-millimeter silent footage. He had no sound recording on it. And so he came to our company to have some sound put on the film. And by a quirk of fate, he wound up working with me. And we spent about, almost 3 months on the film. And we made all our sound effects for the film. We went around the company and made everything and put this whole track together. And the AFI loved the film and took David as a fellow, and they hired me as their staff sound person. And so that got David and I both out to the West Coast. That's how we both got out to Los Angeles.
Let's talk about your film, Eraserhead, mm-hmm. which is a cult classic now. The movie's like a bad dream about urban life where everything is rancid. It's
right.
a real bleak
right.
movie. Now, you created a psychological sound environment for that. And in the background, there's this constant, vaguely industrial sound. Let's play a little bit of it.
Okay.
Remind ourselves of how it sounded. What was the psychological effect you were trying to achieve with the background sound?
Essentially, it's just a sort of surreal urban environment that's always like pervasive and omnipresent in a sense.
The sounds in it don't sound exactly like anything I've ever heard before, but it sounds industrial to me. Did you take familiar sounds and make them into this unfamiliar pattern?
We had an old gas heater in the editing room where I was working. It had a big metal case on it. So one day we stuck a microphone down in the bottom of it, a little tiny microphone in the bottom of this thing, and David was blowing into the top of it. And we just got a lot of really strange sounds that way. And another time we floated an old water cooler bottle. Remember the big 5-gallon bottles when they used to be glass? Now they're plastic. We floated that in a bathtub and stuck a microphone inside that and got a really ethereal type of bubbly sound. So we basically made all the sounds ourselves, but they all had organic roots. Nothing was created electronically. And I think that's one reason why it has the presence that it does, because they are real sounds, even though they've been changed.
I want to take you to another movie that you did with David Lynch, Blue Velvet.
Yes.
There's a scene in Blue Velvet where the hero, who's from a small town, has become involved with a woman who represents all his darkest sexual fantasies. And they're making love, and she says to him, "Hurt me, hit me." And she said that before, and he's refused to do it. But now he does it. He hits her. He hits her
yeah.
hard. Let's play that and hear how it sounds.
Okay.
Hit me!
No! No!
Get away! Get away from that bed! Get away!
That's certainly a smack that reverberates. How did you get it? Was that just a regular slap across somebody's face?
No, we tried that. One of the fellas, my assistant, is a pretty strapping guy, and we tried slapping him on the back. We tried all sorts of stuff like that, and that didn't work. But we were over at a friend's house one day doing some recording, some just odd sound effects, and he happened to have a pumpkin on the floor. So it was just one of those sort of lucky accidents. We took the pumpkin and we hit it with our hands, and then we found a metal ruler on his desk, and we started slapping it with a metal ruler.
Now, what would have been wrong with just a regular slap? It's not convincing enough?
It's interesting that when you hear it with your ear, of course it sounds convincing, but when you record it with the microphone, it just loses. It just, there's something lost there. It doesn't have, I don't know, it's hard to describe. Just psychologically, it doesn't convey enough energy. I can't quite tell you why. It's just funny. We all thought that a slapping someone hard on the back, for instance, would do it. But it just didn't have enough starch.
When you started working on movies with David Lynch, you were using all real sounds. You didn't use synthesizers at all. Now
No.
that there's so many synthesizers that are available and computer-generated sounds, do you like to use any of that, or do you still stick with real sound?
I don't like sounds that are artificially created, electronically created. Others can do that. I'm not interested in that at all. There are synthesizers now, though, that will sample real sounds, and you can then process them in the synthesizer as if you were doing electronic sounds. And I've thought about getting one of those synthesizers, but I haven't bothered with it yet. I've not needed it.
There's a lot of sounds that exist in your average house or apartment. And I'm thinking, you know, when I'm at home, the refrigerator's humming. If it's winter, then the radiator pipes are banging.
Yeah.
And there's always an appliance that seems to have a 60-cycle hum to it.
Yeah.
And then maybe one of the faucets is dripping. Do you hear all those sounds a lot? Are you very conscious of them in the course
of
the
day? Yeah, oh, yeah. Something clicks in your head, you know, if a sound is happening and it's interesting, it somehow or other just penetrates the consciousness. It's not like you go to a place and you say, well, I'm going to listen to all the sounds there. It's not a conscious thing. And if it is like an interesting toilet flush, or in the case of some good friends of ours, they had a really interesting pipe knock when they turned their water off. They made this really weird groaning sound. It's just something that you suddenly hear. It just pops into your head and you say, my God, that's a great sound. I got to go record that.
Are there any sounds that drive you crazy?
Yeah, well, for me, it's the, generally the just urban noise. I don't like urban noise. I much prefer woods and, you know, fields and streams and quiet country atmosphere.
This is the man speaking who did the sound for Eraserhead.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I can't create urban environments, but I don't like them. I mean, I can create them on film, but I don't like to be in them.
What movie are you working on now?
Well, it's a film called The Unbearable Lightness of Being, and it's based on a book by Milan Kundera, a Czech author.
What are the sound challenges you're working on with this movie?
Well, at the moment, I'm actually working more in the music area of it than I am the sound effects, though I will be doing the sound effects on the film, too. This is really exciting to me because it's the first time since my industrial film days that I've been involved in music, and it's really a whole new challenge. I'm not a composer. I don't compose music, but what we've been trying to do is to essentially score the entire film with the music of Leos Janáček, who was a Czech composer whose music probably most closely resembles the feeling textures of the book. That's about the only way I can describe it.
Okay. Alan Splett, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun.
Alan Splett talked to us from member station KQED in San Francisco.